Today's daf is Menachos daf Samach. We left off on the bottom of daf Samach Dalet Amud Beis. We were just going through the intellectual prowess of Mordechai. Again, we weren't sure which Mordechai it was that we were talking about, but we had the situation with the deaf mute who came and was trying to explain to us where to find barley for the Omer and where to find grain for the Shtei Alechem of wheat, and he would make all these signs, and Mordechai was able to figure out what he was referring to, and that's what the Mishnah meant when the Mishnah said that the Omer came from Gagus Srifin and the Shtei Alechem came from Ein Socher on these occasions, which was not the norm. The norm would be that the Omer would have to be brought from somewhere near Yerushalayim, as the Mishnah had said. It was just times of Shasat Chak where Yerushalayim was under siege, where we had to do different things, where we had to work a little bit harder in order to be able to bring the Karban Tamid. The Gemara told the story with the pig and the Karban Tamid. Okay, so there's a lot there. Let's go weiter. We're on the first wide line. Hanu Shlosh at last run. Line. There were three women that each brought three sets of birds for karbanos. They didn't know exactly what karbanos they were supposed to be, but Chada Amra once said, "Lizi Vasi, this is a set of birds that I'm bringing for my ziva." V'chada Amra liyamasi. Another one says, "I'm bringing for yamasi," which literally means my ocean, but likely also refers to ziva. V'chada Amra leonasi. Also likely refers to Ziva for her ona, that which came upon her at a given time. So everyone assumed that it meant that all of them related to the time of bringing a karban for Ziva, that all three women were bringing karbanos for the Ziva. So the kula chada chatas v'chada ola, in which case all three women had two birds each, and one of them would be for a chatas, one of them would be for an ola, because that's what you do when a woman is bringing a karban for her Ziva. It's echad the chatas v'echad the ola. But Mordechai was so smart, he figured out that maybe it's not referring to regular Ziva. He said, Shema bizov sikna. What does that mean? Shaisa shofa as dam yoser, Rashi says. She was hemorrhaging blood. V'nistakin alamos, and maybe she was in a dangerous situation. She almost died. V'nadva lekin alahavi, dahavim travayol, listen to that. Maybe at that point she took an adava as a way of showing karsatov takarosh baruch hu, or as a way of davening takarosh baruch hu, that it should save her, that if she gets out of this and if she stops hemorrhaging blood, that she's going to bring karban. In which case, both of them are going to be in ola. You're not going to have one lechatas, one leola. And the one that said biyam, again, Shema Biyam Sikna, Shema Be'ina Sikna. So in all these situations, it was a reference to a situation of danger where she was in a difficult situation, Dekulu Alustin, in which case all of them are Karbanos Allah, because it was a response to danger, was not a response to a typical Ziva. Baduk V'Ashkach, so they checked out they checked it out by asking the women more questions, more detailed questions, exactly what they're bringing the Karbanos about, and they found that he was absolutely correct, that it was because of dangerous situations, that they were not bringing it stam on account of Ziva. V'hainu d'tnan, and that's what the Mishnah says, that Psachya alakinin zamordechai. Psachya alakinin, the one in charge of the kinin, is Psachya. That Psachya is really Mordechai. Lama nekrashmo Psachya. Why is his name Psachya? Why is he called Psachya if it was really Mordechai? Sheposeach dvarim v'darshim v'yodea b'shivim lashon. Because he's able to open up matters and darshan them, and he knows all 70 languages. And his expertise in the languages is evident in these stories, that the women were speaking not just in languages, but in nuance of language, and being able to pick up on why they were using terminology that maybe wasn't the normal terminology, that he was able to pick up on all that in this case with the women, and even in the sign language situation, he was picking up on the cheresh referring to two different things that were really in two different languages, one in Hebrew, one in Aramaic, and he was able to put them together. So says the Gemara, wait a second, such a big deal that Mordechai knew 70 languages? Kul Sanhedrin nami yadi shivim lashon. All of Sanhedrin spoke 70 languages. Dam Rabbi Yochanan ein mochshim Sanhedrin ella Balei Chachma, Balei Mara, Balei Koma, Balei Zikna, Balei Kshafim, V'yodim Shivim Lashon. In order to sit on the Sanhedrin, a person needs to have wisdom, a person needs to be good-looking, needs to be tall, needs to be old, needs to know Kishuv, needs to know 70 languages. We'll discuss each of those in a minute. Shalote Sanhedrin Shamas Mipia and Torgamon. So the Sanhedrin shouldn't have to hear things from a translator. They should be able, if someone comes from a faraway place and speaks only other languages, Sanhedrin should be able to make out what they're saying directly. They shouldn't have to rely on translations, because things do get lost in translation. It's best if they're able to speak the same language as the person. So what's the kunz that Mordechai knew how to speak 70 languages? All the members of the Sanhedrin knew how to speak 70 languages. So says Mara Ladava, Bayu Lishni Vidarish, Vainu Desuv Mordechai Balshan. Now it's that he was able to mix the different languages together in Darshan, and he was able to see, he was able to pick up on, like we said before, in the nuances of the language, and see when people are switching back and forth, and easily be able to combine the different languages with each other, to appreciate the relationship of the different languages with each other. And that's what's evidenced in these stories, because the guy doing the sign language was showing him two different things in two different languages, and he was able to put them together and realize the name of the place where we can get the grains for the Korban Omer and the Shtei Alechem, and nuances of language with the women who came and just said things that sounded one way, but they were saying it in a slightly unusual manner, and he was able to pick up on that and realize that they meant something else entirely. Now, when the Gemara says Shema B'yam Sikna, that what did Mordechai suggest? That maybe it wasn't a ziva when she says Biyamasi, maybe she was at the Yam, she was at the ocean, and she was her life was in danger at the Yam. There's a tshuva of Chassam Sofer in Aruch Chaim Simen Nun Aleph, where he's mechadesh, an unbelievable chiddush. He points out that we know that there are four situations of sakana upon which a person benches gomel. So do all four of those situations also demand a korban todah? So Chassam Sofer says that typically we would think yes. Chassam Sofer suggests that Yordei Hayam do not have to bring a korban todah. Because if you look at the psukim carefully, in specifically in Tehillim, it's after David HaMelech mentions the Holchei Midbaros and the Chovshei Beis Asurim and the Cholosh and Srape, he says v'yizbuchu zivchei toda. So it sounds like for those things you bring a toda. And then he starts talking about the Yardei Ayam. And he says, V'yiramamu b'kal am u'b'moshev z'kenim yaluhu, that someone who goes to the Yam should praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should have a gathering of people that he praises HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the gathering. Sounds like, says Chassam Sofer, that the Yardei Ayam do not bring Karban Todah, because he was machnas himself into that sakana. And since he was machnas himself into that sakana, it wasn't a sakana he was placed in, it makes less sense to bring Karban Todah. The other reason, he says, is that when you're Yardei Ayam, the danger is completely in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're not relying on any other human being. You're not relying on anybody else. And when you put your hands, when you put yourself completely in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabim Rachamav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mali Rachamim, and therefore there's more trust that things are going to be okay. So all you have to do is be Meromim B'Kalam, the Shem Hashem afterwards. That's the Chiddush of the Chassam Sofer. So says the Zivchei Ephraim, according to the Biur Yadav, one of the Achronim here, the Zivchei Ephraim of Masechus Zvachim, says that one should not reject the Chassam Sofer based on our Gemara. One might have thought, well, look at our Gemara. What did he say? That Mordechai noticed that the woman, maybe it wasn't a Ziva that she was bringing a carbon for, she was bringing a carbon because she came from the Yam. So don't you see against the Chassam Sofer that you bring carbon because he came from the Yam? So that's what the Zivchei Ephraim points out. No, realize that we're talking about a Nedava. That's what Rashi said, that she made a Nedava, that this wasn't a Chiyuv of a carbon toda of Hodah Alanes. It was a Nedava that she wanted to bring for Hodah Alanes. So because she was Nidva Me'atzma, it has nothing to do with the carbon toda, it's therefore not a Raya against the Chassam Sofer. Okay, a couple of the other things in regards to the Sanhedrin. So he said that on the Sanhedrin can only sit Balei Zikna. Balei Chachma, Balei Mara, Balei Koma, Balei Zikna. So what does Balei Zikna mean? So presumably it means older people. There is a Gemara in Masech Sanhedrin that says the exact opposite. The Gemara Sanhedrin Daf Lamed Vavam and Beis says, it's a Mishnah actually, that Ein Moshivin B'Sanhedrin Zakein V'Saris U'Misha'in Lobanim. That we do not put on the Sanhedrin three different people, a Zakein, a saris and someone who's in lobanim. And Rashi says, why not a zakein? He's had children. There's no physical flaw with him. Why not a zakein? Says Rashi, she'en roi lobanim, ein roi, I'm sorry, says Rashi, she'kvar shach sar gidul banim ve'en rachmani, that he's already forgotten what it's like to raise children, and therefore he's not going to have the necessary rachmanus to sit on a Sanhedrin. And Mesech Sarios, it also says that a zakein that's ein roi lobanim is not roi to be amongst the Dayanim, if he's not Ra'i Lebanim. Rashi over there, interestingly, in Horio says, why can't he paskin just because he doesn't have children? What has one got to do with the other? So the Mefarshim are very troubled by Rashi. Rashi himself in the Sech Sanhedrin says that a Zakin can't sit on the Sanhedrin because he's already Shachach Sargi Dulbanim. And he's... and he's not a Rachman. Yet in Horios, he says, I don't understand what the big deal is, why a Zakein can't sit on the Sanhedrin. And over here, we have Beferish in the Gemara that a Zakein is chosen to sit on the Sanhedrin. So what in the world is going on? So the Lecha Mishnah in Hilchos Shkagos, Perikud Gimel, tells us that a Zakein ain't a Roy Lebanim sounds like, even if he has banim, but since he's not roi owed laholid, he's not able to have any more children, he's not roi lahora'a. And that's what was bothering Rashi. Rashi says, forgetting tsar gidul banim happens way after your kids grow up. But Zakin Shein or Roy Lebanim might be when he has an infant in the house, but something happened where he's no longer Roy Lebanim. And what you have to, so that's what troubled Rashi. Why would we say, that's why Rashi in Horios asked the Kasha, even though he seemed to have given the answer himself in Sanhedrin. In Sanhedrin he says, Shachat Sargid Lebanim, that's referring to someone who's much older already, who's a Zakin Muflag. But someone who's Stam Ein or Roy Lebanim, who's younger and just is, unable to have, has young children maybe even, but just is unable to have children right now, well, that has nothing to do with Shach Sargidul Banim, he's still raising children. So that's what Rashi is bothered by. What our Gemara must be referring to is a Zakein who has not yet, who's not a Zakein Muflag, he's not so old that he can't have children anymore, or even that he doesn't have children anymore. A Zakein who's a much younger kind of a Zakein. Now it's interesting, Torah Tamima says that there's got to be some sort of Ta'u Sofer over here, or Rashi must have had some sort of other girsa, because it seems that that he puts the two together, Zakein She'en Roy Lebanim, as one psul, when in fact they are actually two separate psulim. Zakein is one psul, En Roy Lebanim is another psul. So Rashi, being troubled by this, relates to his girsa. Torah Tamim points out that if you look in the Rambam in Hilchos Shkagos, he says, O Zakein, O Shalora Abanim. And that's the real correct here. So that these are two completely separate psulim, they have nothing to do with each other. Interestingly, even though we don't want to have a zakein on the Sanhedrin in general, the Rambam writes in Hilch Sanhedrin, Perikud Aleph, Halacha Hey, Ein Ton in Lemesis, Umashivin Bidino, Zakein, Vesaris, Umishein Lobanim, Kideshalo Yirachamu Alav. Part of the mitzvah of being more strict on a mesis, so the halacha is that all those people that are more rachaman, that have greater rachamim, that we want in a typical Sanhedrin, those people who don't have rachamim, that we don't want in a typical Sanhedrin, we dafka want them involved when it comes to a mesis. For a mesis, that there's an isser to have any rachmanas on him. Okay, that's in terms of zakein. We also mentioned that in order to sit in the Sanhedrin, you need to be balik shafim. They need to know kishuv. That sounds like a little bit of an odd requirement for members of the Sanhedrin. What does Rashi say? Says Rashi, first skinny line, she'im yehe anidon mechashef, let's say the guy the Bezin is trying to kill is a mechashef, so he knows how to not get burned by fire. So we're trying to burn him, and it's not working. So Yasuhein machshefos v'yumisu b'kol misa shiyuchlu. So Bezin can do kishuf to overpower his kishuf so that they can kill him. Very, very interesting Rashi. It's interesting for a couple of reasons. First of all, Rashi's assuming that there's something real to all this, that this is something it's not just a sleight of hand, this is something that people were actually able to do, typically, and that Beis Din was able to come up with a greater level of kishuv. You also see from Rashi is that in order to be mekayim the mitzvah of uviyarta hara mikirbecha, the mitzvah of carrying out the misos Beis Din, the Beis Din was permitted to violate the Isser Da'oraisa of doing kishuv, of practicing kishuv. Why were they allowed to violate the Issa Daraisa just for the just to fulfill the mitzvah of Vi'atara Mikrabecha? Isn't it a mitzvah above Avera? So you also see that Rashi holds, the Tshuva's Torah's Mordechai points out, that you see that Rashi holds, like the Rambam in the 14th parak of Hilchas Sanhedrin, that all Chayave Misos that you're unable to kill with the Misa that they're Chayav in, you can kill them with any other Misa. That's also what you see from Rashi, because Rashi says, okay, the fire's not working, so you could do Kishuv instead. Kill them with Kishuv if you can't kill them with the fire. So you see that from Rashi as well. Unlike Tosfos in Sanhedrin Daf Mem Hem Beis, who says that no, it's only by people who are Chayv Skila and by Irani Dachas, that if you can't kill them with the Misa that they deserve, then you can kill them with another Misa. But it's not about everybody. That's not true by all Misos. It's only true by particular Misos. So if you hear, you see it's someone who was otherwise Chayv Sreifa, and yet we still see that we were going to kill him with something else in the absence of the ability to kill him with Sreifa. Okay, so that is the issue of Kishuv. Important to note, in all these requirements in general, last point before we go on, the Rambam writes in Hilch Sanhedrin Perak Beis Halacha Vav, V'tzarich lihishtadel v'livdok ulechapes shiukulon balei seva, balei koma, balei mara, nevonei lachash, v'shiyedu barov halashonos. So the Rambam, when he lists off the requirements, says, not that ein moshivin b'sanhedrin ella, that you can only put someone on the Sanhedrin if they have all these qualities. A much more toned-down lashon. Lehishtadel v'livdok ulechapes. You should try, you should look, you should search for people who have these qualities. But not that it's absolutely critical that they have these qualities in order to be able to sit on the Sanhedrin. Also, the Rambam doesn't mention on that list, balei chachma, balei kshafim. The Halacha Mishnah is medayik from there, that balei chachma and balei kshafim are ma'akev. That he doesn't mention on the list because they're not on the mishtadel list. They're on the list of things that are absolutely ma'akev. You cannot have a member of the Sanhedrin who's not a bal chachma. That is a non-starter. And that is absolutely ma'akev. Interestingly, balei kshafim, according to the Rambam, is also ma'akev. But the balei mara and yodim l'shonos, that's only lehishtadel. It's also interesting, the Rambam, when he talks about languages, he says that they have to know rov halashonos. The Brisa says Shivim Lashon. So the Ketzer Mishnah points out that according to the Rambam, they don't need to know all 70 languages, they only need to know some of them. And that's why it's not against the Brisa. The Brisa says the members of the Sanhedrin need to know Bishivim Lashon. Bishivim Lashon means amongst the 70 languages. They need to know from the 70 languages. They don't need to know all 70 languages. The only problem with that is Margolios Siam, Rav Ruben Margolios, in the Sefer on Sanhedrin, Margolios Siam, Daf Yud Zayin, says that if that's true, that they only need to know some of the 70 languages, our Gemara is very hard to read. Because we say about Mordechai, what was his gadlus? He knew 70 languages. Frank the Gemara, what do you mean? That's no big deal. All of Sanhedrin knew 70 languages. Well, according to the Rambam, no, they didn't. According to the Rambam, they knew Bishivim Lashon. They knew some of the 70 languages. They didn't know all of the 70 languages. So that our Gemara becomes much more difficult to read if you understand, like the Rambam, that they don't all actually know the 70 languages. Okay. Tosos on Kishuv says it's different than Rashi. Rashi on Kishuv says that they need to be able to actually practice Kishuv. Tosos says that they only need to know Kishuv in order to know what's real, what's not. If they're going to be judging cases, they need to be well versed in what they're judging. So that they're going to be putting people who practice Kishuv to death. So they need to know what the difference is between real Kishuv and fake Kishuv. That's what it means, that they have to be knowledgeable in Kishuv. Not that they're actually going to use it to kill people using the Kishuv knowledge that they have. Okay, new Mishnah now. Ketzad Einosin. So again, we're talking about the Karban Omer. So how would they go and harvest the grain, the barley, that they would use for the Karban Omer? Shluch HaBezin Yotzim Erev Yomtov. Shluch HaBezin would go out on Erev Yomtov. Va'osnos on Krichos b'mechubel l'karka k'deishet yehei noach l'ktsar. And they would make bundles in mechubel l'karka of barley that's mechubel l'karka, so that it will be easier to do the ktsira later on. All the people who lived in the nearby towns would gather together there, so that it will be harvested with a big tumult. Kivan shechshicha omer lehen ba shemesh. And as soon as the sun set, because they would do the ksirus omer the night after the first day of Pesach, it was so they would as soon as it got dark, they would say ba shemesh. Did the sun set yet? Omer hin, meaning the people who were going to do the ktsira said to the gathered crowds, did the sun set? And the crowd responded with a resounding yes. Ba shemesh, omer hin, again, yes. Magalzu, should I use this sickle? Omer hin, and they said yes. Magalzu, you want me to use this one? Hin. B'Shabbos omer lehen, Shabbazu, and on Shabbos you'd say, really? But it's Shabbos, are you sure I should do it? Omer, oh, I skipped, I'm sorry. Oh, Kupazu, Omer Hin, Kupazu, Omer Hin. You get the idea. Shabbos, Omer Hin, Shabbazu. It's a good thing we wouldn't have been able to make a seam, right? So, Omer Hin, Shabbazu, Omer Hin. Ekzari said, should I cut? Should I harvest? Vehimom lo ktsar. And they would say, harvest. So that's a little bit strange. The Achronim point out. All the other ones, they were just saying, yes, yes, yes. But when it comes to the harvesting, when it comes to the ktsira, it's ktsar. So in the Tshuvas Toras Mordechai, he explains that the mitzvah of ktsira sa'omer is a chiv on all of Klal Yisrael. And the kotsrim were the shluchim of Klal Yisrael. So the shlichus needs to be done in a more direct fashion. Hain is not enough of a language of shlichus. So that's why they needed to say dafka ktsar as opposed to just saying hin. So shalosh pavim al kal davar v'davar v'hinam lo hin hin hin. Probably the strangest part of the Mishnah is that even though we had each question repeated twice, it actually was repeated three times on each and every one, and they would respond yes all three times. So even though the Mishnah kept on saying it twice, the Mishnah then tells us that we were inaccurate in the earlier part of the Mishnah. It was really three times that it was said. Kol kach lama, why would they do this whole show? Because the Baitusim used to argue that there was no Ketzir Sa'omer on Matzah Yom Tov, that Ketzir Sa'omer, the whole Karban Omer, was brought on a Sunday, on the first Sunday after Pesach, not on the day after the first day of Yom Tov. So they would have to make a whole show of it. This was part of what they did, that they make a public demonstration of the fact that the Baitusim are wrong. That in general, we have such an idea in Judaism, that when we are trying to be lahotzi miliban, we dafka go out of our way to do things to a more extreme, in a more extreme way, when there are people saying the other way. I think we spoke about this on the Shabbos recently, on a Friday night, that to be lahotzi miliban, we dafka want to show that things are different. Someone emailed me yesterday a sign that was hanging in a Satmar shul on Yom HaTzmud, on Monday. They didn't know Yom HaTzmut was changed to Tuesday. They didn't get the Rabbanut's anyway. But on Monday in the Satmar Shul, it said that Yom Hamarv, etc. That we say Tachnun. Remember, Rabbeinu Rabbi the Baal Divrei Yoel said that we say Tachnun on Hey Iyar, even if there's a bris, a sandik, it doesn't make a difference. You say Tachnun anyway on this horrible, bitter day. So it's following the tradition of the Hotzi Miliban, that when you have you have people in the other direction, you have to you go even stronger. Okay, so they'll be so disappointed to learn that it was celebrated on Tuesday. So Tan Rabbanan, so we have a Braisa. The Braisa tells us as follows. There is something called Megillas Tainus. Megillas Tainus is a list of good things that happened, of holidays that they made and therefore some of those days you weren't allowed to give a hesped, other days you weren't allowed to fast. So Alin Yomaya Dalolis Sanabahon. So these are the days that you're not allowed to fast on. Umuksasan Dalol Misbabon. All of Megillas Tainus is Batel, the Gemara says. We no longer observe Megillas Tainus except for Chanukah Purim. Chanukah Purim we still observe, obviously, but the rest of Megillas Tainus is Batel. But some of them you're not allowed to fast on, some of them you're not allowed to say a hesped on. Number one, Mireish Yarcha de Nisan at Tamanya Bay, Itokim Tamidah de Lol Misbun. From the first day of Nisan until the eighth day of Nisan, no hespedim. Why? Because the Karban Tamid was reestablished. There was a threat to the Karban Tamid. That threat was overcome on the eighth day of Nisan. So those 8 days when the Chachamim were working on overcoming that threat, we're not allowed to say a hesped. Umitmanya bevat sof moada, from the eighth day of Nisan until the end of Pesach, itos of Chagah de Shvuaya de lo lemispad. It was the Chagah Shvuos was set, and we were able to overcome the arguments of the Tztukim who wanted to destroy Shvuos. So we made a rule that you're not allowed to be maspid then either. There's gears on the side that Rashi's gears says lo lehisana, not lo lemispad, that this is one that you're not allowed to fast, as opposed to hespedim. Meresh Yarchanisan. Now the Gemara is going to get into the details over here. So Meresh Yarchanisan, Denisan Ad Tamanya Beitakim Tamida Dalon Misput Shigut Stukum Omrim Yachin Misnadiv Maybe Tamid. What was the threat to the carbon Tamid? That Stukum used to say that a person could make a Nadava and bring a carbon Tamid, a personal owned carbon as a carbon Tamid. An individual can take a Nadava and bring a carbon Tamid. So my Darush, what was the drasha that they made? Esakevis Echad Taaseh. So what was the response? How did we prove them wrong? As Karbanilach Mili Ishai Tishmeru in a plural, Shiukulan Ban Mitchumas Alishka. All funds for a Karban Tamid need to come from the communal funds, from the Chumas Alishka. It can't be from individually owned karbanos. Parenthetically, we talk about Megillas Tainis, Lola Mispad, the halach is the Gemara Maseches Tainis tells us that anything that it says by Megillas Tainis, that you're not allowed to be maspidan, the fun of Asr li Achra of Mutter, the day before is also Asr, the day after is Mutter. Rabbi Yossi says both the day before and after is Asr. All the days of Megillas Tainis that you're not allowed to fast on, lefun of uli achra of mutter, but Rabbi Yossi Yomer, lefun of aser li achra of mutter, that the day before you're also not allowed to fast. So the big kasha that all the Rishonim ask, Shita Mukbetzis asks, why is it that we fast the day before Purim? It's one of the days of Megillas Tainis, and we fast Tainis Esther the day before Purim. Isn't that a violation of lefun of aser? So there are lots of answers given. Shita Mukbetzis gives three, and other Rishonim and Achronim give other answers. Shita Mugbetza says that no, only Chanukah and Purim are not batel, but the din of Lefneim Lachreim are batel. We said all the Megillas Tainis is batel except for Chanukah and Purim. Not Lefneim Lachreim. Lefneim Lachreim is batel together with everything else. Only Chanukah and Purim is not batel. Shita Mugbetza also says that since we read the Megillah in such a public demonstration, we treat it like a yantif. The whole reason that Lefneim Lachreim are strict, that we're strict even lefnei melachreim, is to make a chizik l'divrayim, is because these things are so minor that we're afraid people aren't going to respect them properly, so we have to be extra strict and make the day before it usher to fast also. But on Purim, it's something that's so public, it's something that's so widely accepted in Klal Yisrael, it didn't require a chizik. A different nusach in how to answer that in along the same lines is that since it's midivrei kabbalah, it doesn't require a chizik. It wasn't purely made up midrabanan, it's midivrei Kabbalah, comes from Nach, so that's why maybe it didn't require a chizik. Another answer might be that also one of the days that you're not allowed to fast that's mentioned in Megillas Tainis is Yud Gimel Adar, because that was Yom Nikanor, so it was a special day that they weren't allowed to fast. So since anyway that was a special day they weren't allowed to fast, so that was the reason they weren't allowed to fast that day. That reason was Batel, and Megillas Tainis was Batel. So now we're not going to introduce a new reason of Yom Shalfanav. They were never Gozer Yom Shalfanav on Yud Gimel, because it had its own reason not to fast. The other answer that a lot of the Rishonim give, not quoted by Shindig Betzis, but the Rashi Maseches Tainis, and many other Rishonim say that Tainis Esther is not a Tainis of Tzara. Tainis Esther is a Tainis of Simcha, and that's why that's an okay kind of fast. It's a Tainis where we're celebrating, we're commemorating how when we fast, the Ribbono Shalom responds, how the Ribbono Shalom answers our prayers. That's what we're commemorating. We're commemorating the fast in advance of the Purim miracle, where it worked, where Kodesh Baruch Hu answered our tefillos. So it's a celebratory fast. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter, Mitmanya Beviat Sof Moada, from the 8th day of Nisan until the end of Pesach, Hitosav Chag HaShvuaya Delo L'Mispad. So the Chag HaShvuos was reset and reestablished to the point that we don't need to do Hespedim any. We weren't allowed to do Hespedim because we were so happy about reestablishing Chag HaShvuos. Show you by Tusan, Omer Matzar Sachar HaShabbos. The Baitusan used to say that Shvuos is always going to be on a Sunday. Nitbal Hem Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai Varam Lem Shot Minayin Lechem. So Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai challenged them. He said, you morons, how do you know that this is so? Where do you get this crazy idea that Shavuos is always on a Sunday? And no one had any answer because they just repeated whatever they whatever they were told. They didn't know anything. They weren't educated. Except for one zakein who had the chutzpah to speak unintelligently. That's mefatved is the lashon speaking unintelligently, and he said Moshe Rabbeinu Oyev Yisrael Haya. Moses Moses was a great lover of Israel. That's always the way people who will try to destroy Torah Shebaal Peh start. They always start with Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, with social justice. That's always it's always a great way to start, because that's an easy way that everyone's... who doesn't believe in that? Who doesn't believe in Avas Yisrael? So he says, Moshe Ben was a great oil of Yisrael. V'yodea shatzeres yom echadu. And he knew that Shavuos was one day. Amad v'tikna achar Shabbos k'deshu Yisrael m'sangin shnei yamim. He loved the Jewish people so much, he knew we needed 2 days off from work. So in order to have a proper celebration, he made sure to be misakin that Shavuos should be on Sunday and not any other day, so we could have Shabbos and Sunday off. Karol of Mikrazeh, Echad Asor Yom Michoriv Derech HaSeir. So Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai says, oh yeah? You know how long it takes to get from Mitzrayim to Israel? Not all that long. V'moshe Rabbeinu of Yisrael ha'yalom ikron b'midbar arbaim shana. It's an 11-day journey. Why did Moses make it last 40 years? If he really loved us, he would have gotten us there in 11 days. That was Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai's response. Rashi points out, obviously, this is not a legitimate response, just like the original argument wasn't a legitimate argument, for obvious reasons. Moshe Rabbeinu is not the one who's misakein Shavuos, although he sort of was. He was Hosef Yom Echad Midaito, but that we have in our tradition. But he's not misakein Shavuos. The Torah's misakein Shavuos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's misakein. So you answer the fool according to his foolishness. That's exactly what Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was doing. But then the guy caught on that he wasn't giving him a real answer. So I'm like, Rebbe, b'kachat ha-patrani, really, that's the best you got? That's what you're going to answer me with? That why did he take 40 years instead of 11 days, as if it was totally his choice? Amar lo shota velote Torah Shlema Shalanu Kesicha B'Teil Shalachem. He said, nah, I just didn't want to answer you because I didn't want to bring actual Torah into this conversation, because I didn't want to equate our Torah Shlema with your moronic drivel. So he said, the real answer is, on one end, we have a pasuk that says you count 50 days. That you count 7 complete weeks. Hakeitzad, what do you make of that? Which is it? Is it 50 days or 7 weeks? If the Yom Tov falls out on Shabbos, so then you can count full weeks starting from Sunday. That's how you count weeks. You count weeks starting from the beginning of a week. But if it falls out in the middle of the week, then you count days. So you see that it can fall out in the middle of the week, and we would start counting from then. We would not start counting from Sunday, from the following Sunday after the first day of Pesach. That was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's response. This Bryce is going to quote 4 more responses, and then we're going to have another brisa that has 3 more responses in addition to that. So we're going to have a total of 8 responses to this question of how we know that Shavuos is not always on a Sunday, how we know that we don't start counting the Omer from a Sunday. Just to point out that we, in regards to the